Blog Talk.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, I want to say hello to everybody first. Hello to you too, mi amigo. Welcome, everybody. It's the Thursday edition of the show. Remember, you can catch Screwdriver Alone on Tuesdays and catch both of us on Thursdays. A lot of people are calling tonight. We encourage people to jump in anywhere you want. If you want to agree with our guest, you want to disagree with our guest.
That's correct.
If you want to disagree with Screwdriver, I have to say, this show is about us all together. Whatever you have to say, we want to hear. We have got, I'm trying to not jump in anywhere already. There's so much stuff going on in there. Before we jump into it, it's a busy weekend for you and I.
Yeah.
Let's talk very quickly about the iRide show that's coming up.
That's, yes, Bill. That's going to be in Long Beach. And that's going to be
story of the Fried Brothers, their lives and their travels and all that.
That's correct. It's going to be at the Art Theater, August 27th, at 225 East 4th Street in Long Beach. It's 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. shows. Facebook, I Ride the Movie. You can get that right there, and they give you directions and everything, Bill.
Fried Buzz, a long time hard rock and roll, southern rock and roll, the way I call it, like that. Screwdriver and I will be up there. Then I think the Fried Buzz, I believe, are playing Sunday. Correct me if at Cook's Corner up
That's
in
correct.
Orange County. For you people to know that, that's kind of an interesting show there. And then you and I have got, this is where we get more complicated, because you are supposed to be at a blues event. I'm supposed to be at an event for some Rat Rod program. So once again, I turn left, you turn right, or something like that, because we just can't be everywhere.
No.
We don't get enough information from our friends what's going on. So anybody tell us, any event going on in your neighborhood, pick up the phone and talk to us.
That's correct.
I do know that Susan is going to be on the phone later. She's got an event coming on with the veterans, and you know we love our veterans, this area over here.
That's correct.
And Screwdriver and I are both veterans. We think that anything we do would help the veterans. When I came home, they lied to me about just about everything.
Well, of course.
And I don't hold that against the vets. I hold that against the government. I feel that my country has never let me down, but our government has constantly let me down. And one of the benefits that were guaranteed to me as a veteran has pretty much already been blown out the door. We do not turn our back on our veterans, though. So that's coming up. Before I jump into something, is there anything you want to jump into there, Emil?
Yeah.
I don't want to keep going on and ruin some stuff you got to say, so.
No, and the latest thing I wanted, if anybody listening, here's the problem, though. Everybody is, they know we're here. Let's see. We just got a message from Scotland, Bill.
Scotland.
That's correct.
Oh, the lovely ladies over there.
We got a lady who told us earlier about the new neighbors.
She got neighbors coming?
So I asked her if she's going to call and tell us how she really feels about those new neighbors.
All right.
I'm too cross to talk. In fact, I'm raving. Jesus Christ. Kisses. Okay? So I'm going to tell her.
So Scotland's got a new neighbor coming in. She's upset with the new neighbor.
There.
Well, talk to us. We want to hear about it.
Well, right now she's...
I see she's upset there, but...
Yeah, she was upset, I'll tell you that.
Well, let us find out what's going on.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing I wanted to talk about, though. In Australia.
So if she comes in, we'll get back to her later.
That's correct. In fact, here, let me check.
Our
this
poor
out.
Buddy's
okay.
in Australia.
We don't have anybody on the hook yet.
In Australia.
Okay?
God almighty. Those guys have nothing but problem after problem after problem.
That's correct. We have one now. Hello, caller.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah. Larry.
Yes, Larry.
How you doing, Larry?
Good. How you doing, man? How you guys up to?
All right, tonight.
Not bad. I told you we were going on the air, and I asked you to call, and if you'll, what I'm going to do is mute you, but I'd like you to stay on the line because I want to get your comments on what I'm going to say in the next 3 minutes, okay? And right after that, right after Bill and I talk, then I'm going to play a short audio piece, and then we'll unmute you, Larry, okay?
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm going to try to get you up on my screen here. So I
sure.
can listen over the, what's it called? Where the heck is it now?
Okay.
All right.
Unless you want to hang up and call back after, Larry.
What's up? What do you want to do?
No, I'll hang on. I'll listen, but I'm going to play with the computer a little bit, see if I can get the, you got
okay.
up on the screen here.
Okay, right. Larry. Thank you.
Yep. No problem, man.
Hello, caller. 503?
Yeah,
hey,
this
welcome.
Is Sifu Mike.
How you doing, Mike? Hey,
good, how you doing, bro?
Not bad. Give us I was just telling Larry, give us a couple of minutes. I want to play a short audio piece, and then we'll bring you right back. If you want to hang up and call back after, that's cool. But if you want to hang on, that's fine also, okay?
We're going to mute you for a couple of minutes.
I could hang on for a little bit. I don't teach till 6:30.
Okay.
We'll be done
by then, but we'll bring you right back after.
Okay.
I want to get your opinion on this also. Okay, Bill.
Let's jump back in and find out what's going on.
Here's where we're going. Okay. Now, what it is, Bill, is in Australia, the latest round of anti-organized crime laws. Here we go again.
Here we go again with Australia.
Okay. Now, this concerns every motorcycle club in Australia. Okay. And parts of Canada. And they're trying to do it here. The only thing that stops them from us right now is the Bill of Rights. But in California, they're coming up with that California Stud Act, but that's another show. Anyway, what they're doing is they combined it to protest an original round of legislation, okay?
Mr. Other, for you people who don't understand that, although in America we're called bikers, in Australia they refer to themselves as bikies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not being disrespectful to them. That's how they classify themselves. So bikies.
Right. So right now they have five bills that are going to be introduced into Parliament in a bid to once more attempt to stem the creation and operation of organized crime gangs in South Australia, okay? After the High Court challenge was made to the serious and organized crime legislation previously attempted by the RAND government, Attorney General John Rouse said the government has amended the legislation and will attempt to submit a new anti-crime package as soon as possible. One change under the new package is to remove the Attorney General from the process. Okay?
Yeah.
You caught that, right?
Watching that.
Okay. Now, in removing the Attorney General from the process, previously the Attorney General would have declared a group responsible for the conduct of the whole club.
That's specified, right.
Okay?
Okay? Yeah.
Now, the new bill proposes the declaration to be carried out by a judge. Okay? By a judge now. He said, the government got the legislation right on the basis of the best advice I can get. We believe we have solved that problem. Bullshit. He said, the new bills would take aim at the crime legislation mobility by presumption that a person displaying the insignia or a support shirt or anything at the time of an offense would be acting as part of that gang.
Well, you know, that's stretching it, but I can see where they're trying to go with this, though, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, conditions are suggested for the removal of the presumption for bail on gang members charged with crimes to protect the witnesses. Encouragement would be offered for imprisoned gang members to prevent rats.
Oh, yeah.
They want fucking rats.
Help us out here. We'll help you out.
Exactly. Okay? With measure to offer review sentence duration on value of information offered. Okay? Witnesses will be allowed to provide evidence under special conditions without having to physically appear in court. Bullshit.
You don't have to see the person testifying against you or nothing. They're trying to isolate everything.
Right.
They're trying to help the stitches up.
Now, prosecutors could apply for trial by judge without the jury, though. So no 12 peers to fucking give
and
you
and each judge is different.
Exactly.
There are hanging judges out there, boys and girls, trust me.
The government would also attempt to reduce laws to prevent the known criminals from mixing with other known criminals, with the detest from consorting notice only able to be removed by the judge's approval. Criminals could be prevented from communicating or socializing with named persons, or even banned from visiting the specified areas.
But we have that in a little bit now.
Yeah, we have that. Non-association.
Right, we have that. Yeah.
Just a little. We intend to give the court very wide discretion to make orders so as to limit what a person can do. He said his bill would go as far as restricting mobile phones and internet connections for convicted criminals. And after this, after we talk to these guys,
right.
I got another one that came out yesterday for California about your cell phone. And which it's going to go because Michigan was the first one. Now California stepped out to the plate. Obviously, these people can continue to conduct their business if they can communicate with people. Okay? The Free Australia Political Party, a group formed to protect the government's original anti-bikey legislation, believed the new bills would provide the same protests as the original legislation. Okay? It just goes on and on. So what I'm going to do, Bill, we're going to go to the audio.
Right.
After this audio, we're going to bring in Larry and Mike.
All right.
And we'll go from
there.
We'll
kick this around a little bit.
We'll kick it around a little bit.
The first thing we're doing is that the serious and organized crime legislation.
And just so you guys know, this is this is the Attorney General explaining this to two radio guys, which they
about the organized crime legislation.
The organized crime legislation, which they gave me permission to play with.
That my predecessor put into place was, as everybody knows, challenged in the High Court. A similar piece of legislation, though not the same, was also challenged from New South Wales, again in the High Court. And we have now digested the decisions the High Court made about those two cases, and we are amending that serious and organised crime legislation. And the easiest way in to understand what we're doing is we're removing the Attorney General completely out of the loop, and we're saying the declaration will be done by a court, not by the Attorney General. So all those questions the High Court raised about process and the courts being required to do things that they weren't able to actually exercise their judgment about, those have been rectified.
So you now think you've finally got it right?
I do. On the basis of the best advice I can get, I believe that we've solved that problem. So the Attorney General no longer has a role in the declaration of a criminal group. That will be done by a court on application by the police commissioner.
Okay. Now, just on your release yesterday, let's get to this point here. It says that you will be doing certain things. The daily business of known criminals will be damaged by preventing them from associating with named people, banning them from attending certain locations, revoking their driver's licenses and other licenses, and preventing them from using electronic media.
Yep.
So what does that mean?
Okay, well, that's one of the other... We've got five bills in this package, so you've now moved on to one of the other bills. What we're talking about here is where we have a case of somebody who is a known person involved in organised crime. So we're talking about people who have a track record for this sort of behaviour, and that person is then charged with an organised crime offence again. And the question is, under what circumstances should that person be allowed out in the community, if at all? And what we're saying is that we intend to give the court very wide discretion to make orders so as to limit what that person can do. And what we had in mind in particular was things like how many mobile phones, if any, can they have? Are they able to communicate with people using the internet or... using other electronic modes of communication. And the reason for that is that obviously these people can continue to conduct their business if they can communicate with people. So that is directed towards controlling what access they have to other people with whom they might be doing business. You don't render them harmless simply because they're not building somebody up and they're sitting at home.
Okay. Well, let's move down to a couple of other key points in this that I think the public would be very interested. One of these is... if you're frightened and you're a witness, you'll be able to give special evidence out of court in limited circumstances. Why is it limited, and what are these limited circumstances?
All right. Well, look, this is a very important issue. We've had cases all around this country where people have had so
sudden lapses of memory or have refused to give evidence because we believe those people have been intimidated by thugs of some sort. Now, we obviously don't want cases to fall over simply because the witnesses get scared. So we are providing for an opportunity where, in certain circumstances, which will be policed by the courts, not by me, but if the courts are satisfied that it's, in effect, in the interest of justice, that somebody's evidence be received and considered by the court, even though that person is not available to the court, then the court will admit that evidence. Now, clearly, that is a departure from the normal arrangement whereby a person who gives evidence is also there to be cross-examined by the defence counsel in a criminal case.
Well, I put it to you, Attorney General, that if you were just an ordinary person in the street who'd been witness to, let's just say, for example, a violent bashing or something like that that had been carried out by someone who was involved in a criminal gang, and you were the only witness, I think most people would want some help in giving that. I mean, that'd be quite. So why is it limited circumstances?
Well, as I said, it's in the hands of the court, Ian. So it's what would happen is that the Director of Public Prosecutions in a particular case would say to the court, look, we don't believe we can get this witness to come because they're scared. This witness's evidence is really important. We ask you as a court to receive their evidence and to consider their evidence as part of the case. Now, the court would then decide whether they will or won't, bearing in mind that it does represent a departure from the normal rule in court cases that a person should be cross-examined if they give evidence. But this is a completely new power that we're giving to the courts to be able to admit evidence which now would never, ever get in. The other thing we're doing also is actually saying if there's any suggestion that a witness or anybody else is likely to feel threatened by one of these people, if they are released on bail, the presumption against bail is reversed and they're not bailed.
Paul Coon is spokesperson for the Free Australia Party, a political party that was formed to oppose these anti-bikie laws. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Your reaction to the latest changes or the latest additions to the legislation?
Well, I find it all quite interesting. And unfortunately, what happened here that created an act of legislation, or will be creating that legislation, which in effect gives rise to the same situation we had before, where you have a person who is declared criminal by association. That has already been thrown out by the High Court in two cases, and I suspect this will happen again. It's pretty straightforward, actually.
But John Rowe, do you think there will be another challenge to this legislation then?
Oh, look, that's impossible to foresee. I assume if somebody who is engaged in criminal activity is inconvenienced by this, they would certainly try and explore whatever role they had in the courts. So
now, one area that I imagine they will be concerned about, groups that are clearly opposed to this, is that you've got a section here as part of a key measure to have incentives to encourage informers.
That's right.
How much will you be offering?
It's not a matter of money. What it's a matter of is this. Let's say that you've got some person sitting in jail who has a lot of information about a criminal organisation, and that person, having spent some time in jail, decides that they don't particularly want to spend the rest of their life sitting in jail, and they're prepared now, belatedly, to cooperate with the authorities and provide some critical information. What we're saying is in those circumstances, the law should be flexible enough to be able to say to such a person, okay, if you do actually come up with the goods and you do actually give evidence or produce evidence in relation to serious and organised crime offences and we are able to run those cases, we will be in a position to review your sentence. So we're actually saying to these people, there might be something in it for you if you actually start reconsidering whether the code of silence that you're operating under is actually in your best interest.
Well, John Rowe there, Attorney General, it's just gone 17 minutes past 9. Paul Coon is the spokesperson for the Free Australia Party, a political party formed to oppose these bikie laws. Well, Paul Coon, if a court is now going to be the one that decides whether someone can be named as, can be basically listed as a person that can be banned from associating with other members of a gang, isn't that an improvement?
Well, it is an improvement, simply because you've not dismissed the judiciary in the act of making declaration. But unfortunately, that's precisely what they had in New South Wales, where they had specified judges in the Supreme Court of New South Wales who were named by the government as being judges who were able to make such declarations. That whole act got thrown out in New South Wales. Now, what John was saying, and I understand what he was saying, is that he's had the best information available to him, have drawn these new laws up and made the amendments, and they don't believe that these will fail. It would appear that they haven't considered exactly what's happened in the New South Wales situation here.
Let's go back to John Rowe. John Rowe, are you likely to see yet another battle in court over all this?
Oh, look, as I said before, Ian, it's quite possible if somebody comes to the attention of these laws, they'll struggle against them. But can I say, in relation to the New South Wales case, we have had a look at that, and the court made it clear that, the High Court I'm talking about, made it clear that there were particular defects in the New South Wales legislation, and I, from memory, those defects were that the court was not required to give any reasons for their determination one way or the other. And that's obviously something that we have taken into consideration. We've read that, or those that advised me in particular have read that judgment very carefully, and we believe we've avoided the problem that's there.
We've just had a text from Don from Hallett Cove saying, Attorney General, that you need an education program to tell the public what bikies are involved in to justify the actions. Do you think you do need to do that? Because,
I really think it's very important that people out there understand this is not just about bikies. I don't have a problem with fellows with beards who ride motorcycles per se. That's not an issue as far as I'm concerned. What is an issue is people involved in organised crime. And they are not all people on motorcycles. Some of them all drive a particular brand of motor car, which is a certain colour. Some of them are what we would understand in the popular media as being mafia. Some of them might be Asian gangs, which specialise in importation or distribution of drugs.
And some of them might be police officers at the highest level in the federal government who actually were involved in the biggest importation in recent times as well. So we have to go after everyone. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. This is about what people do, not about who people are.
What do you think, Bill?
All right, listen, you heard over and over the word bikies. So
hang on. I'm going to unmute Mike and Larry. You guys are unmuted right now, okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Because the reason we want, this is Bill Kennedy speaking, the reason we want you guys to be aware of this is we tell everybody over and over, the news of the world is not just to entertain everybody, it's to make everybody realize what's happening in one state today may affect you and your state tomorrow.
Now, just so I get this clear, this is all happening in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Turn down the sound in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at a gym. This is Mike. Let me turn this down.
Okay.
This is going on in Australia and Canada, right? Is that from my understanding?
Soon to be coming to a state near you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if it passes there and they put it under one person to make a decision, well, that person could be some tree-hugging, rope-sucking faggot, and, of course, we're all effed. And as far as
Mike,
labeling...
Mike, you don't have to watch your words. You can say whatever you feel, brother.
I was going to ask you. I wasn't trying to disrespect anybody. I just... This whole thing really fucking irritates me.
There you go.
That they even label a club as a gang because one person maybe got busted doing one thing or whatever. That's Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, wrestling, My Fitness Center. Is that a gang because it's a club? All that shit pisses me off. I've been riding bikes my whole life. And because I associate with somebody that is a patch wearer of a certain club that the FBI or whoever has labeled, then all of a sudden now I'm a bad guy? Well, I think it's all bullshit because 99% of every biker that I've ever met or trained or have rode with are more loyal, more good guys and give you the shirt off their fucking back. and than 99% of every cop that I've ever seen or dealt with. So, you know, they're just intimidated by the whole fact that there's a brotherhood. That it's the same brotherhood that's in the military. It's the same brotherhood that's in certain clubs, and they don't like it because it's a unit, and people stand together, and that scares them because they don't have unity in the government because they're all worried about getting the bone from the other guy and seeing who can fuck whose wife first. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're the criminals.
One of the big issues we have to deal with is if we take away the jury and leave it into the hands of the judges, we all know there are some judges which are more favorable to the police department than it is to the citizens. And
absolutely,
I'm sure those judges would type motorcycle people. Those are the judges who are going to affect us. It's equally
exactly
scary.
And I agree 100%. And then if you're saying that a witness can be a witness but not show themselves or put their name down on record, what's to keep somebody who is even a supporter of another club calling in and say, I was there, and spouting off this, spouting off that, you know? It doesn't do anybody any good. And if it does get passed there, it's coming right here. It's already, look at the difference between California, Oregon, and Montana, and Arizona, just the freedoms that are taken away in California and Oregon.
We're
getting all our freedoms taken away.
You know, everybody's jumping in on the bikers and whatnot. There's a bigger problem out there. If they want to talk about gangs, they better talk about the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings. These are the people who are killing people on the street, killing civilians.
Exactly.
Why ain't they aiming their guns at those people and leave the damn bikers alone?
Because the CIA and the ATF are getting all the drug money to buy the weapons in Arizona to send them to fucking Mexico. That's why.
Yeah.
So let's face it for a second. The street.
The other thing is,
gangs are a bit
most guys that are bikers. Hey, you know, a bike isn't cheap. So we got, you know, most of those guys, they know that they'll pay their fines. They get money off those guys.
The biker community as a whole does more for communities around this country than any other single group of people.
Absolutely.
I've been absolute downpour, raining cats and dogs, and had a fundraiser for a family who needed, was down and out or had cancer or whatever, and people came.
And people donated.
And it was the bikers. It wasn't the car clubs. It wasn't anybody else. It was the bikers.
Exactly. And we just did a bike run down over here on the Oregon coast and raised $2,500 and did a poker run for some kid that has come down with leukemia. That's a friend of one of the bikers. And who else is doing that? I mean, you know, the bikers are the ones that want to do it.
Exactly.
And nobody else is doing that.
We did one for a Marine who was shot. There was maybe 150 of us there. We had a little auction. We kept giving the stuff back to raise more money. I don't know the total amount, but it was like $5,000 between about maybe 75 guys. And it was pouring rain out there. Everybody else, if there was a regular community picnic, everybody would have went home.
Exactly. And I agree with you. You know, there's more heart. I've seen more heart in bikers and more caring and more respect in a biker. I've been in martial arts my whole life. I mean, 34 years I've been training in martial arts, and I've seen more heart and caring and guys that want to give the shirt off their back in the biker community than I have even in that. And, you know, and it just infuriates me. But
when you pick up your local newspaper, you know, like I'm from upstate New York. Okay. Our little city over here was claimed number one in the country, where the FBI, BCI, all the groups came in to clean up the city. That's what the gang problem was up here. People getting killed left and right up around here. I don't see them donating money to charities and making fundraisers.
That's exactly it. How many of these organizations and stuff, how many of them getting together and trying to do fundraisers?
Well, in their defense, the Blue Knights and the Red Knights do a bunch of fundraisers in our area.
Okay.
To give them,
around where I'm at, you know, they're more worried about their pension and everything else, it seems like, around here. But, yeah. Hey, I'm sorry, I got to go. I got to teach a class. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you having me on here, and much love and respect to all you.
Hi, Mike, you're out. You're welcome anytime. Thank you.
Mike, stay with us so we know what's going on.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we're not done yet. Let's talk about this a little bit more here. If in Australia, and they've been beaten and beaten and beaten down in Australia, and they refuse to lay down, if this is successful, this is going to appear in your city tomorrow.
They're already trying to do it. They're already doing it in Canada.
Let's talk this about a very small thing in the city of Escondido, which is in San Diego. They're having motorcycle stops only.
Yep.
Cars go by, trucks go by. All motorcycles have to get stopped. Does that sound a little strange to you? As a taxpayer, I don't understand why I'm have to put up with this, but that's the way it is. They don't do big death bowls. What they do is they hit us a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. Today, they're stopping motorcycles only.
Well,
tomorrow,
just like now, Bill. Okay, over the next month, the Porterville Police Department up north, Northern California, plans to conduct motorcycle enforcement operations.
Yeah.
Driving under the influence. And license checkpoint and several DUI roving saturation patrols. The specialized motorcycle safety operation will be conducted August 27th and again on September 3rd. Mm. They're using the word safety, but it's actually checkpoint. And we talked to John about that. And what it is when this thing comes out from the Office of Traffic Safety, they put safety.
Yeah.
The other towns or whatever, the newspapers are changing it.
And they're trying to make us feel good because this is a driving under influence check. No. They're pulling you over, checking you for your license and your registration for the few people that they catch for DUI, maybe one or two a night. That's what's coming across to the public. We're trying to help you out. The fact is 50 people a night are being checked for driver's license and registration. If I'm doing something wrong, and I've committed a violation, and maybe I run a red light or two, maybe I'm speeding. If I've done something wrong and you want to check my ID, I don't have a problem with that because that's your job to try to give me a ticket. My job is to fight the ticket. But if I'm not doing a damn thing wrong but riding home, I can be pulled over and spent 20 minutes to a half an hour. Is this America still?
That's just like last week when we talked about the probable cause and all that stuff with going to court.
I've said this before on the show. If my grandfather, who's passed away, were to wake up tomorrow, he wouldn't know where he was. He wouldn't know this is America.
No. You know, it's like the other. Like, check this out, Larry. They came out with an article yesterday. Okay, this is from the Sacramento Bee, and it says California among the toughest states for motorcyclists. Take it, Bill.
It's the worst state for motorcycling. They say. Although motorcycles in California enjoy great weather and beautiful scenery, and we do, the state is still the most dangerous for bikers, according to a recent survey conducted by Progressive Insurance. It's the most dangerous because we're on the motorcycle all day long,
it's
all
not even
night.
That, Bill. There's 29,300-something cars registered in the state of California, and how many motorcycles do you think are registered in the state, Bill?
You know, I don't know.
2,300,000. Okay,
yeah.
That's divided by that. That's 11 to 1.
Yeah.
So you got 11 cars on the bike.
You know, we're talking about the fact it's so dangerous here in California. I have been hit at a stop sign in the rear end. I've been hit on both sides, and I've had something run right into me. Every time I was in a car, I have never had an accident on the motorcycle. I'm not saying I didn't drop my bike. I'm saying that I've never been involved in an accident. But at my age, I've been hit so many frickin' times by cars, and yet they're saying the motorcycles are dangerous. I don't understand that. I think having a motorcycle allows you a little more leeway, a little more latitude to try to avoid the person coming at you.
Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with, I hate to say this, but it has a lot to do with the younger generation. On the metrics.
That's correct.
I travel all over the place, you know, up and down the East Coast, and I've been in traffic, and I've watched these kids do wheelies through traffic, do some knucklehead stuff. And at one point, the Marine Corps lost more kids on bikes than they did in the war in Iraq.
That was the last, that was up until 2009. That was from 2009.
And the military had to realize they had to start doing safety classes and all that. That's correct.
Which now, Bill, you have to get your platoon leader, your sergeant, your company gunny, a lieutenant or a captain, and then you have to go see the colonel and get permission from him.
Right, and then you got to have a whole bunch of fucking gear and
everything. Because I think these young kids, as you just said to us, they're buying motorcycles. The power of these motorcycles is so far above their ability. What's happening is when they panic, they're out of control.
Right.
My brother and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. We're an independent Harley shop. I ask people, it's against the law, I can't say to you, let me see your motorcycle endorsement or license. But I ask them, and if they don't have it, I say, stop putting the horse in front of the cart.
Right.
Stop putting the cart in front of the horse, my bus. Go down and get your license and come back. I may lose a seal because they'll go somebody else, but I believe that my taking a moment saying, hey, I don't think you're quite ready yet. I sleep better at night. These kids that have the motorcycles, as you're saying, they buy a motorcycle. The power is so fantastic, they don't have the ability, and there's where we have the accidents. And that's the part of life. You hit the nail right on the head on that one, buddy.
The reason why it's so fresh in my mind, I just lost not a good friend, but a friend. And he was 27, had a metric bike done up, motor redone on it. He got away from the police once on it. He tried it the second time, and he pinballed in a forest with the bike with himself. And he's left a young 10-month-old daughter. I mean, just, you know, when you're young like that, you have that S on your chest. You know what I mean? And they got to learn that S doesn't work all the time.
No, and I'm going to say, as somebody getting a little bit older, I'm going to make this statement. I don't bounce as well as I used to down the freeway anymore.
No, me neither. Not to make light of this, but yeah. I guess as you get older, you know, the aches and pains makes you a little bit more cautious. I wish it was just the opposite, you know. I mean, these kids would learn just, I don't know, I just slow down a little bit. I don't know.
I'm at a point in life where I have a lot of friends of mine who are presidents of motorcycle clubs, and they're all saying, Bill, I'm going to go back to being a soldier. I'm getting worn out trying to take care of everybody. So I see their point.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you know, we see, you know, I meet, see these kids all the time, and, you know, they try, you know.
I was at a party last Saturday night, and I left about 11 o'clock, and I came home. I was getting tired. These youngsters were going to be up all night long partying. Well, 10, 11 o'clock, and I'm in the middle of the mountains. I'm not a long way from home, but I go through all the mountains. I'm thinking, I want to go home my own bed. I want to relax. But these young ones just pounding the beer, and they're going to be up till dawn. And God bless them for that. I don't think I can do that anymore. And it's okay for me to say that out loud, you know?
Well, don't feel bad. I happen to agree with you. Some picnic benches and the ground doesn't feel too good anymore. My bed at home is a lot better. But getting back to what we were talking about, you know, I'm amazed at these politicians. You know, if something is as terrible as what I was talking about earlier about the other gangs, why aren't they focusing on them? Why do they got to pick on? I don't understand their thought pattern.
We are the most highly visual, the most highly mobile. When we go down the road, we're easily able to put into a small little unit. Oh, these people are with so-and-so. Oh, these associate members, these support members, they're with such-and-such. You don't ever see the mafia with something on the back of their jackets, do you? You don't see them wearing fine suits, and then on the back of the back it says mafia. No. We, as bikers, if you join a club, you put yourself out there. And we're just, it's like the bullseye to the bull. We're out there. We're an easy target. It's easier to pick on the bikers than these motorcycle, I mean, these street gangs. These street gangs are a lot more secret. But for whatever reason, we know why we're out there. We're out there because we want to be out there. But we're easy targets, aren't we?
Yes. There's no question about that. There's definitely no question about that. And reputations do proceed, let's put it that way, where these street gangs, yeah, they do it, but I just don't understand. Because half, believe me, guys, different groups, different MCs met a lot of the guys, and they are genuine as all hell. Genuine as all hell. And
I do want to point this out. This is very important. Again, I am not speaking on behalf of any organization, but we have generational hatred, generational problems. If your motorcycle organization was involved in some type of a conflict where one of your members was injured or killed, you can't just put that aside. You can say that, sit and talk and be friends, but if you got 10 chapters in your club and 2 chapters have lost a person in the wars, 8 of the chapters might say, we need to sit down and work this out with the other side. The 2 chapters that lost a body, lost a brother, they're not going to abide by it at all.
Right.
That's where the hard problem is. I like the fact that when most people negotiate and they try to be independent, they try to work out what's best for everybody. But the chapters that lost somebody, death, assassination, bombing, those chapters can never go along with let's get along, because they ain't never going to happen in my area down there.
No.
Yeah. You know, I can believe, I can see that. Because, you know, being at the Brotherhood and whatnot. Yeah. That was a friend of mine, and it didn't have to happen that way. Exactly. No, I happen to agree with you on that.
Yeah, I had a guy, I came out of work today, Bill.
Yeah.
And you know I switch up on the helmets all the time. Well, I hadn't seen this guy because he's been on night.
You go both ways, you said?
No, I switch up.
Oh, sorry. They said we'd go both ways.
No, I switch up on the helmets.
Bill. All right.
See how this guy treats me, Larry? Anyway, I came out with a dark full face I wear.
All
right. Hey, man, what's up with the full face? I'm incognito. Really? They don't stop you wearing that one? No, they stop me more wearing this one.
Exactly.
And then the fun starts when they say, take off the helmet. I want to see your face. I just fold up the front, Larry, and the guy goes, what are you, a comedian? I said, no. You said you wanted to see my face.
Right.
You can see my face. And he said, well, what's with the dark glasses? You got a dark shield. I said, you already know what color my eyes are. You're holding my driver's license. Why do I need to take off the glasses now? I want to see if you had anything to drink. I just came out of work. Why would I? Do I drink at work? Just to bust my balls.
Yep.
But you are responsible for that situation, that traffic stop. When that officer, that man or woman stops you, you have 30 to 45 seconds to see how this conversation is going to go. You don't say, good afternoon, officer. You don't say, what the fuck you stopped me for, officer? No. You answer the questions, yes or no. You have your driver's license, insurance, and registration if they ask you.
Right.
You don't shoot yourself in the foot. I'm not saying you do, but many of our friends do.
And the first thing I say is, can I ask you what the probable cause
was?
Exactly. Be pulled
over? First statement to make, yes, huh? You don't say things like,
and
how
they go,
you doing? Yeah.
And I get some Yahoo, he'll go, what are you, a Philadelphia lawyer? No, I'm from Chicago.
We tell people,
and then he gives you a ticket to visit the judge, right?
No. Because when I ask them, I tell them, I'm turning on a recorder. As soon as I get pulled over and they walk up to me, when they ask me for that shit, I pull out the recorder first and I set it on the seat if they let me get off the bike.
But you stay on the bike until they ask you to get off the bike.
Exactly.
That's the only correct way to do that. I'm telling you, if a cop pulls you over, you don't want that cop to write any notes about you.
Nope.
You don't want to be flippant. You don't want to be sarcastic. You don't want to be nothing. Yes, no. Yeah. May I leave now? Or are we done? So when you do go to court, he doesn't have a lot of notes to check on you.
Nope.
It's those people that want to argue on the scene. The cop writes all those notes, and the judge knows what's going on, and you shoot yourself in the foot again. Yeah. So I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, brother.
But he didn't break your horns about the audio tape?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. All the ones that know me, and all the ones in the town that I live in, they already know. Yeah. The first thing coming out of my pocket is the tape recorder. And they found out after they handcuffed me and turned everything off and took all my stuff away from me that it was unconstitutional for them to do so because I informed them that I was turning it on.
Oh, okay. Because I've been reading in the paper and seeing on AOL about, you know, people bringing out their because you're being filmed by the officer, so people are coming out with their phones or whatever cameras they have and filming and audio and the ticket, whatever they're doing, and they're getting arrested for doing that.
In some states, it's still up in the air. It's kind of new, but you have to be the one to stand again. You're the one responsible for what's going on. You've got to have all the evidence you need for when you go to court. You can't
go on
what was happening by, well, this is what the cops' records are. No, no, no. You know what? I've been in court, and I told the judge, you know, the man said, what the fuck was I doing? The judge says, don't use that language. I said, Your Honor, I will use that language because I'm only repeating the language the officer used on me. And I'd like you to ask the officer, did I use any language like that? And they, well, blah, blah. Then I try to blow it off like that.
Sure.
I sometimes have trouble bringing up in court that the officer's language
was
offensive because the judge told me not to use it. So
right.
You've got to be prepared for everything in there. Now, it does help. I want to say this right now because Screwdriver has long, long hair down his back. And because he is a welder, he has no facial hair, and he keeps it tight. I have long gray hair with a giant gray goatee. I just look like, you know what, maybe I'm the wrong guy. Go bother Screwdriver. And my personal way of getting out of tickets is when they pull me over, I tell them, Screwdriver's two blocks down the street, and they haul ass after him. I'm telling you, the gray hair works real good on me. See all this love I get?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
It keeps going dead on me. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I'm on a cell phone, so I thought maybe AT&T dropped me again.
No, when you call this show, you need a tinfoil hat.
Oh, is that what it is?
Absolutely. They're listening right now.
We tell everybody, and this is just our philosophy, when we have a mayor in our city, we give him a couple weeks, the new mayor, and we set an appointment up. I want to go down to City Hall. I want to talk to the mayor. I want to see what his points of politics are. I want to know what he plans to do. I want to get to know the man. I want him to understand that I am a voter, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a veteran, I'm a parent, blah, 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 I'm a businessman. What are we going to do? What type of communication are we going to go on? I don't want to wait until later when there's a problem. And if there's a problem with the police department, Screwdriver and I go down there, not adversarial. We ride our bikes to the front door because we make appointments. Let's discuss this issue. We don't want to yell and scream, take people to court and say, well, we want to discuss it because we want this issue stopped. That's our first choice right there. The police department, the mayor, should not be something you're afraid of, everybody. It's like the dog catcher and the gas electric people. They're just another organization. If something's going wrong in your neighborhood, ain't no use yelling and screaming. You make appointments, you go down, and I tell Screwdriver, try not to show any emotion, which is a little bit hard for him when we talk. Try not to use these F-letter words, little that slip out every now and then. Present your case the best way you can. Let the city know, let the police department know, you are a taxpayer, this is an issue you're concerned with, how are we going to resolve this? I say a little bit of sugar gets a lot. Now, Screwdriver, he's got another theory on that, but we try to work it out together.
You know, Larry, Bill and I sat in a room with these guys for, what, almost 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
And they bantered back and forth, and every time these two clowns opened their mouth, I slid paper in front of them. I used their rules against them.
Yeah.
So we're getting down to the end of it, and the guy says, well, you know, we didn't know anything about those grants. Or I said, well, they're right here. And I gave them to him, and I told him they were getting them. And the guy about flipped the switch. And Bill leans in and says, but I told you this guy was sharp, and if you'd like them to come back once a week and give you updates, we can arrange that for you. They were pissed.
They were thinking that they were ignorant people, and we're not, you know, lawyers or anything. We're just taxpayers. We're American citizens who think that we have a right to drive on the American roads. Over and over, I get reports, oh, Bill's adversarial to the police. No, If there's an issue, that's my problem right there. We got to solve it. If the police want to do their job, then I have no complaint with that whatsoever. But when they get out of line, every one of us has to hold those people accountable. You cannot let that go on in your community. You don't need to go crazy, but you got to talk to them about it. Can't be confrontational. Screwdriver's more confrontational than I am. I want discussions. I want dialogue in the interrogation room, in the mayor's office, wherever it has to be. You have to stop these people and say, we're not satisfied with this. You live in your town in New York, where we're down here in San Diego. There's many of us out there. We just tell, well, you've got to get involved. We have a lot of political organizations, the BAIT and MMA and BOLT. Okay, these people are doing stuff on a grand level. They're fighting with Congress and what the hell they're doing.
I'm on, Larry, you got to understand, I'm on the street in the trenches.
That's all we are. But so are you. Because if something goes wrong in your neighborhood, either you take the ticket or you shut up or you say, listen, I want to resolve this so the next schmuck riding down the road doesn't get hassled the way I was hassled.
You know, this all started. I got a ticket one day. I was so pissed. I was going to the shop when they got me. And Bill, I walked in and Bill said, what's the matter? And I told him. He goes, hey, just pay the fucking thing. I said, no. And he tried to convince me for like 15 minutes.
I told him it wasn't worth the effing time. I said, you know what? You're going to take a day off work and blah, blah, blah. You're going to be aggravated. And he said, I'm this convinced on it. And I said, well, then let's go do something about it. And since that point on, we've been sitting there. And again, we're not yelling and screaming. We're saying the city of Oceanside, North County, San Diego, there are issues here that we want to resolve. That's all we're trying to say. You get a ticket, learn how to go to court. Confront the police officer. Of course, if you're in Australia, you won't be able to confront anybody, but still, you know, we still get some rights in America. And the police don't forget, there's a whole bunch of us veterans out here. So we're not exactly laying down going to take it.
Take it, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I did this thing in the, I got a heavy equipment mechanic. Now, I used to do work on the major highways out here, New York State Thruway, and now New York State Thruway is part of 84 and 84. And I worked for the company, I could go out, if the DOT got a truck for a brake adjustment or whatever, I was always allowed to go out, do the brake adjustment, and the truck goes on its merry way. Well, this one cop said, I need a permit. We go to court, and I said, went to the judge. I said, Judge, I work for the company, and I gave him the whole story that I just said to you guys. But if I was out here as a business to make money, I understand that I have to have a permit. And as far as I know, that's the way the New York State Thruway law was written up. They could not come up with that law. I still got in hell with a $200 fine. Because the judge believed the cop.
Yeah, you got to understand that, number one, the undercurrent is they're going to side with the cop. You got to present
that's
your case. Somebody else has to present their case, and enough people have to keep representing themselves and showcasing the problem. It's an uphill battle. From the first time you walk in the door, you got long hair and a beard, cop's clean shaven, baby face. The judge is going to side with the cop. So you have to present your case and then have other friends walk in and say, I just want to explain what happened. Eventually, by chipping away slowly, we'll get rid of this stuff here. And and I don't have a problem with all the cops. But when a cop starts getting out of line and he's doing the wrong thing, he has to be brought in check. And that's going to be done by his supervisors and the judges. So,
because basically what I did was I buried him in paperwork. You can get a public service request. That takes 10 days. They don't answer you in 10 days. You send one to the FBI. They start an investigation. You don't get an answer from them in 10 days, you send one to the Department of Justice. And then after that one, usually someone knocks on your door.
Oh, no kidding. All right.
Yes.
It sounds like a lot of shit, but you got to understand, they have all this stuff, these rules, these laws. That's their ammunition. What is your ammunition? All your ammunition is you're going to try to tell the truth. And when they get all those laws and paperwork and all you have is the truth, sometimes we get hosed. Justice is blind.
Yeah, those fuckers are trained to lie.
I tell you what, especially this particular officer, because apparently he was, you know how usually they sit in a group and talk and whatnot?
Well, this particular officer was by himself, so apparently he wasn't liked too well as being a scumbag, you know, doing trivial, just breaking balls all the time. And I basically called him a liar, what he said, because he told his story, and then I told mine. I said, he is so wrong, it's unbelievable. And I was watching the other officers. They were all smiling in the background, saying, yeah, that sounds like something that he'd do. But I still lost. But, you know, it just irks the shit out of you when you try to do the right thing, and it just goes the other direction. You know what I mean?
You got to assume you got a good chance of losing. You got to assume they're going to gang up on you. But the point is, you got to make a stand.
Yeah.
Boy. Everybody would just go in and say, I want my side of the story heard. Win, lose, or draw. At least as Americans, we can't let them take these rights away from us. That's all
right.
I'm saying on that.
Yeah. And we're losing them left and right every day.
If you don't use them, you lose them, right? That's the state right
yep,
there.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Anyway. So how
got
good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was
going
to bring in another caller, see if she had something to add to that.
Okay.
Yeah, hang with us, though. You're live.
Hello, Melissa. Is that you?
Yeah, hi. Sorry about that. I had a phone issue. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. We just got back from our trip, and we actually just pulled into California at 2 o'clock today. But I was listening to your earlier conversation about the bikers and the rules, and I the one that you had on Tuesday. And my question is, if they dismantle all the bike gangs, does that also include the Patriot Guard?
Anybody wearing any kind of a patch.
Yeah, that's really sad. I was just, that really has nothing to do with our thing. I was just asking because that would be a really sad thing to see them dismantle them because they were a huge part of our documentary and what we're doing, which is why I thought you guys would be interested in what we're doing. So,
sure,
and
Larry would be interested in this too. Go ahead.
Larry, tell us a little bit about the Patriot Guard is, please, in case Larry doesn't understand that. And also the American Legion riders, okay? Tell us a little about that, Melissa, please.
Okay. Well, I myself am not a rider. I have a lot of friends that are, but we are doing a documentary across America. Me and my daughter, who is 11, and two 65-year-old women went from California to Georgia. Our goal was to capture 150 years of war talking to the families, talking to the vets, and talking to everybody. And one of our biggest segments in the documentary is the Patriot Guard. And the Patriot Guard are a group of bikers. However, you do not have to be a biker to be in the Patriot Guard. But the amazing thing about them is they are the only organization that they don't have meetings, they don't hold club. Their only mission that they have is to honor the troops that are brought back, whether they are brought in KIA, which is killed in action, or whether they are brought back wounded. The Patriot Guard will do transportation for the funerals. They will be pallbearers for caskets. But recently, their most biggest job has been stopping protesters at the funerals. And what they've been doing is the Patriot Guard's 150 bikers or so, most of them veterans themselves, making a wall between the protesters, which is the crazy church that I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want them to have any publicity, from spitting on the caskets and causing a scene at funerals. And
what they're trying to do is they want to give the families to grieve. And so they're putting distance so the protesters can come in. That's exactly what they're doing, and I agree with
yes. When the caskets are brought through, when the caskets are brought home, the Patriot Guard will do a whole mission. What they do with the mission is they will get a call either from the family member of the deceased or somebody who has fought with them in the war, you know, and knew that person was going to have to be having a funeral. And they will be asked to do transportation, which means setting up the funeral procession behind the casket, with their flags blowing and their bikes. And no, none of their missions are the same. So it's really hard for me to explain exactly what a mission. They will play taps for them. They will, their main goal is to honor the soldiers and protect the soldiers and the soldiers' family from any bad media and any bad protesters. And the really sad thing is they are never talked about in the news. Whenever you hear about a funeral of a soldier, you seem to hear about the protesters, which recently has been that Baptist church that goes around and around to every funeral that they can go to, has been their biggest obstacle at this point in time. So it's really hard for me to tell you exactly what one mission is like because all of them are different. You know, they do whatever the family asks of them to do. The really sad part of the Patriot Guard is that, like I said, they're not an organization. It's any biker, and it's pretty much the only biker group, which I understand, that will ride with. It's where any club comes together. You can be a member of any bike club, but they always come together as one for the Patriot Guard event. So, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh, we know exactly what you because we have.
I didn't realize that they were. I'm sorry.
You gotta go ahead, brother. Jump in.
Oh, I didn't realize that they were made up of different. I thought they were actually an MC a group. I didn't realize that they were from different groups. Because
that was one thing I didn't know either.
They're
DFW riders. They're Marine riders. They're American Legion riders. They're the Elks riders.
They're anybody. They could be Hell's Angels. They could be.
I have to correct you. There are. Some motorcycle organizations, they do not allow in.
Oh, they did? Because I was told by the one in Oklahoma. Oklahoma branch does allow any of them to come in, but there might be some that they don't. Because the hierarchy of it, even though they are not, they're a club that does not have any dues or any meetings, but they do have an order. There is ride captains in each state. And in each county, you know, each section of the state, they have ride captains, and then they have one state captain, which is really good because in Oklahoma this month alone, and the month is not over, they have already brought back 8 KIAs. And they did one homecoming for a triple amputee while we were there, and they did a welcoming home of 400 troops. And that was all just in this month alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they're all over the map. And the amazing thing is, we have tried really hard to connect with more than just the one in Oklahoma. The reason we got into that one was one of the ladies in our group is very close to the ride captain and his family to her. And while we were there, we were actually getting emails from overseas. A soldier who one of the deceased was in his platoon, and he was asking the Patriot Guard to please make sure. But at the funeral, it was, you know, he knew that they were out there, and he was basically asking them to keep the protesters away. And, you know, it was just touching to hear the words of the soldiers say, thank you for the Patriot Guard, because at least we know somebody back home still wants to honor and respect us. And, it's, you know, I was talking earlier that the bikers get the bad names. You guys get, you know, they're bad bikers, they're bad people, but I know for myself from working with many different nonprofits, you guys are the only ones that come out rain or shine, and you guys are the only ones that give you give regardless of if you know the person or not, you know, and I've never seen anything like it. And I just really wish part of my documentary is I want to point out that we need you guys. And who are we to say, you know, keep the bikers away? You know, I was really honored to watch. And when these guys go to these funerals, they don't dress up. They're still wearing their leather coats and their patches, but they stand there with their flags and they play taps. And one of the main things that they do is they will present the family of the deceased parent. They will get down on one knee and they will either give them a flag or they will give them a coin. They will honor them in some way. And they're just so. It's the
Have you guys ever heard taps explained?
I've heard it played.
Have you heard it? Do you know where it came from and what it means?
No, I do not know the history of it.
It's been a long time, but I did know it. I did have it when I was
putting together a book for Joey. I had it in there.
I have it right now.
Okay.
I have it right now. Give me a few minutes, and I want you guys to hear this.
Okay. Well, I stand that. You said that would they ever take the would they ever put the American Legion riders? Would they ever be able to disband them? The answer is yes, because the government, the Bikers Task Force, everybody that wears a motorcycle jacket is put in a category. Now, the American Legion riders and all the Patriot Guard riders are at my shop all the time. Stand up good people. But even they realize they're put in a category somewhere. They're obviously not put in a violent category, but they're in the government's archives. They're in the program. Are they being watched? Not really, seriously. But they are being recorded in the system, like the baddest motorcycle gang they are, because they choose to wear something on their back. Now, in California, when some of the bad boys put a party on, the American Legion riders in this California area, they're asked by their local people, please don't wear your colors to that event. We don't want the association. That's their prerogative. But every single motorcycle organization that has something on their back, the government is recording them. It's sad, but it's a fact. The government records everybody. Jay Hoover, everybody records everybody. It's a sad thing. We have a list that comes out in California every year of all the motorcycle clubs. Christian bike clubs are in there.
Wow.
You're saying that, and I'm sitting here, I'm smiling ear to ear, because I don't know if anybody's ever made it Memorial Day weekend in D.C. to see 600,000 or 700,000 motorcycles and all the different clubs that go down there. It's amazing. It's totally amazing. So they're right in their back door. Patriot Guard, Nom Knight, Rolling Thunder, all the guys, Leathernecks, everybody's down there.
Every one of those good organizations is being investigated by the government. Everyone in this organization is put in a category somewhere. I'm not paranoid. I'm not trying to say hide your head in the sand. I'm stating that's the way the government works. If you wear a patch, you're in the category. The Bikers Task Force is there to tell everybody, good guys, bad guys, but you're still being recorded, boys and girls. I'm not trying to be paranoid. Have you be paranoid about it?
Well, I tell you, you know, when I lost my son over there, and I had the Patriot Guard at his funeral, I had Rolling Thunder, the Nom Knights, a few different other, those are the main groups that I can remember, to be honest with you. What an honor it was.
I have never cried so hard in my life when I watched, we actually got to watch a video of a mission, and just to see them. I mean, see hundreds of bikes lined up, and, you know, and I'm going to use a stereotype here, but it's a good one. You know, you see those big buff guys out there, and they're not scared of anything, and they have tears streaming down their face, and they're giving more respect to these soldiers than our own government, and it's amazing. I wish everybody could see it, and that's my goal. That's part of the reason we're that's a big part of our documentary.
A large reason for that is a lot of those guys are Vietnam vets, and they didn't get the welcome that they should have when they came home, and they swore, every one of them that I've ever talked to, and I talked to a lot of them, all say this is not going to happen to these kids. It's not going to happen to these kids, and like I said, when we're down in Washington D.C., it's about the MIA POWs, and. Well, just to give you a little quick thing. I do the Marine Marathon every year with my bike also. And at the marathon, you've got politicians and the Marine Corps commandants there, and so they have snipers and special SWAT teams all over the place, especially nowadays with the terrorists. And they close down the road. I'm ready to leave. I was talking to one of the special forces guys or SWAT guys, and I said, you know, I was curious on, you know, you got so many people there on Memorial Day weekend. I said, how is it down there? You know what he told me? They have more problem with the Marine Marathon than they do at Memorial Day with all the bikers. And I just laughed. That goes to show you what it means to every single veteran down there. They're there for one reason, to pay respect for the 56,000?
plus.
At least, yeah.
Sorry, forget the
Let me say something. I have to interject here. You said at that organization you saw so many different veterans motorcycle clubs. Is that correct? Different patches.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Think just think for a second. If they ever could come, if we could ever come together, what power we would have. I say by mean power, what ability we would have to get things done. And yet, when I talk to different veterans clubs, and I'm a vet and all that, they're fractionalized, they're sectionalized.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're this, we're that. Bullshit. You're all veterans. One day,
exactly.
America, if all the veterans would come together and say we are one veterans motorcycle club, man, we'd be able to do some stuff for the good. I really believe that.
Yep.
Well, one thing that really amazed me is I looked at the patches on these men, and, you know, their patches are like, you know, bikers against child abuse. One of the bikers had a patch for, there's an organization out there that goes and finds, I believe it's called Recovering Americans. I could be wrong on the name of it, but they go and find unclaimed soldiers in morgues, and they will give them a honorable burial, and they do the same thing. The Patriot Guard will come out, play the taps, do the bike blind, all of it, with or without people there. And the one man said he has buried many urns where the only people that were there were the Patriot Guards. And I mean, these are things that I've never even known existed. I mean, I can't imagine being a soldier and coming home dead or alive and not having my family claim me, you know? I mean, I'm learning so much. I know I sound really sappy right now, but it's just been really emotional, and it was amazing. And I, seeing the Patriot Guard do what they do, but the funny thing is we're considered media. So the people, the ride captains in Oklahoma, they dealt with us, but they didn't want to trust us, you know what I mean? And I totally understand it. The media has taken the words that the veterans have said and the things that the Patriot Guard have done, and they've put it in a negative light. And that's one thing we're really trying to change, because I'm a freelance media, so I don't work for any specific media group. I write my own topics, and I do my own videos, and I send them. And if people seem to be interested in them, I'm like, great, but I don't follow what the politically correct themes are today, you know?
Hold on for a second, please. I don't want anybody to go anywhere. Screwdrivers picked up just the history of the taps. It's a small thing. I'd like everybody to hear it, please. And I really want to go back and talk to you about something right after this. So, Brother Screwdriver, are we in there? Hang on, boys and girls. We'll get right back to everybody.
There we go right now.
This band's voice, by the way. I won't say his name, but maybe you might recognize it.
It was July in Virginia. The scent of the dogwood and the laurel lay heavy on the land, while the burgeoning bloom of the peach and the apple marked the full sway of summer. Seven faithful days, the trees, the flowers, yes, the very ground itself, had shuddered under the roar of cannon, the bark of howitzers, and the crackling of a legion of rifles. Now all was silent. Sledgehammer blows of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson had mauled the Army of the Potomac, and yet that army was not destroyed. 7,000 men had fallen in that dreadful week, and the savagery of the conflict was grimly evident in the river of wounded that wound through the green hills. Now a new sound drifted in the soft evening sky. For Colonel Dan Butterfield, a courageous naval soldier, was also a man of music. To honor his fallen comrades, he had composed a simple and heart-rending melody. On July 2nd, in the year of 1862, its strains floated over the graves that scarred the dark Virginia earth.
can anybody tell me who the narrator was?
I'm sorry, what?
Can anybody tell me who the narrator that was, please? Did that voice sound familiar to you?
I'm going with Charles Hassan.
John Wayne is absolutely right on the button. You know, what he talked about was the Civil War. He talked about that families had sons that fought for the North, other sons that fought for the South. Let's never forget, the Civil War was Americans fighting Americans. How stupid can it get? Americans fighting Americans. I do want to just deviate very slightly and talk about, you're talking about the veterans coming home and all that. Let's not forget that our women are coming back from overseas for the first time in American history, arms blown off, legs blown off, shrapnel wounds to the face. The American public is used to seeing men walking down the street missing an arm or a leg. We're talking about men, shrapnel wounds. We're talking about our sons. We're talking about looking up to them and saying, God bless you. Now let's flip the script. When I see the women walking down missing an arm or a leg and shrapnel wound, it's like we are embarrassed that our daughters, our cousins, our aunts are coming back from overseas. And with these people, these suicide bombers, our women are coming home in great problems.
And you, you know what I say to that, Bill?
What?
Well, along those lines, too, one of my problems is I always had, because I'm 33, so I always think of a veteran of, like, of World War II or Vietnam. But yeah, now these guys are coming back, and they're younger than I am.
And don't forget, not just the guys, please. Do not forget, it's the
and
women
females,
coming home.
Females, too. Yeah, these people.
Very important.
That had to be one of the hardest things I've seen. I've been to Camp Lejeune a few times, been at the Wounded Warrior Project, and it's all been guys. I did meet a lady out of Albany, New York, who was over there and lost both her feet in an IED explosion. That was probably the hardest thing for me to do, is see a woman injured like that.
Exactly. Us older guys, we're conditioned to take care of our women, our sisters, our mother. We are not comfortable seeing our women wounded. Now, when I speak to the girls at the VA hospital, they tell me, Bill, we can see a man missing an arm or leg or facial wounds, and based upon character, we can see a man inside. But you men are so damn shallow. Look at me, Bill. I got no legs. You're going to take me dancing? Look at my face, Bill. You're going to take me out? We have to redirect America's mentality towards accepting and embracing and loving our women veterans coming home. Because here in San Diego, we see way too many of them. Way too many of them. Screwdriver, you got somebody trying to hit me with here? Or
yeah,
somebody?
I have this. I don't know if you ever experienced this, Bill, but it's from the Marine Corps firing party, Bravo Company, 2nd Platoon, and this is a 21-gun salute.
What's wrong with this? It's a 20-gun salute when we fired the 3 volleys of rifle fire. There happened to be 7 riflemen, so it is a total of 21 shots. But it's not to be confused with a 21-gun salute that's reserved for the President of the United States or heads of state. It's 3 volleys of a rifle team, which is composed of civil. So the actual tradition of the firing of 3 volleys, again, dates to our Civil War, when the battles at times were so horrific and it would become necessary to remove the dead and the wounded off the battlefields. And a truce would actually be called by the armies to do this. And volleys were then fired to signal that they were ready to work in combat. And
right. I'm sorry. We have a caller, Bill. Actually, we have a caller from 503.
503, jump in. Hello? So tell us who you are, please, and where you're from.
Area code 503.
Okay. What's the other one up there then?
858.
858, you're live. Talk to us. Who are you? Who are you? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Phil, Bill. It's Miriam. How are you?
Miriam, hi.
Hi, Miriam. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Both veterans.
Yes, I'm kind of stepping on the coattails of the subject here just to tell you about an event that's coming up that's actually going to promote the Wounded Warrior Homes. It's the first annual Warriors Code Poker Run, and it's coming up on Saturday, September 3rd. And interesting that you were just mentioning the wounded women, men and women, because this is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that serves medically discharged single men and women of our armed forces. And it's mostly with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's, you know, what they do is they want to help with providing affordable housing, with hands-on resources, just to help them transition back from active duty military service to independent living as a veteran of you know, war.
Well, I have to stop you because I'm absolutely flabbergasted here. Have you got any flyers out, say, in the bike shops, say, for example, like Kennedy's Custom Cycles? I don't have any flyer in my shop, and you're running out of time.
Or send me an email to put on the blog, which gets 36. Actually,
well,
we went over 8,000 hits today.
You know, we have got free in Thunder Press.
I just found out about it myself.
Are you aware of all these media hypes we can use?
Well, I'd be happy to send you what I have. I was actually just notified today by one of the interns for the Wounded Warrior Homes, and I'm not even sure how she got my information, other than I'm, you know, out doing a lot of events. As you guys know, you and I met at a lot of the events, whether it's, you know, was Rip's Ride for Diabetes, or, you know, I'm out promoting Ride for Kids for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, but I have been doing what I can to support other charities, whether it's, you know, by making a donation that they can use for a silent auction or a small dollar donation. But I just found out about it today, and I know it's Labor Day weekend. It's not that far away. It's
too late
love
to get in the magazines
for
free publications and all that. So now, can you tell me about a poker run? What's the distance of the poker run? And can you tell me where it's going to start, where it's going to end, perhaps?
Sure. It's beginning at NTC Park, which is at Liberty Station, and the address is 2455 Cushing Road, and that's San Diego.
Screw it, Eric. I'm not familiar with that area.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
It's down by Liberty Station.
Right, exactly. And the registration is from 8 until 9 a.m., unfortunately, I didn't know about the early bird registration, which was done by August 18th. But at this point, it's $30 for riders, $20 for passengers. And the ride ends at San Diego Harley. There's going to be a barbecue, opportunity drawings, and music by the Blue Wailers. And they're going to have first place best hand, second place best hand, and worst hand. The prizes are men and women's leather bracelets, $200 value, second place hand, a surprise certificate valued at $100 or more, and worst hand can win $50 cash prize.
Can you tell me the length of this motorcycle ride? How many miles?
You know what? Unfortunately, it doesn't say. All I know, maybe Phil can help with this better if he is familiar with it, but let me see if I can find out any more information about the actual route.
I'm so close to Camp Pendleton, of course, being in Oceanside. I can try to get the information. Time is slipping away, though. You're right. Usually, I need 2 months in advance to get a flyer up, and then the month before I hit all my customers hard with, hey, meet me down. This time we're pushing it kind of tight, though. We won't get as much of a turnout as you like. Is this Harley-Davidson only? Are you open to all motorcycles?
Oh, it's open to all makes, all motorcycles, all different clubs. They don't have any restrictions on patch holders or, you know, anything of that. And, you know, I wish I had more information on it. Unfortunately, I can give you a website because maybe that will have more information.
Here's what I'll do. I will give you time on Tuesday. That'll give you time to get your flyers out. Send me a flyer. Send Bill a flyer, which you can tell you're going to have to send to me, and I'll get it to Bill. And then we can I'll bring you on Tuesday, and we'll give everybody updates, and we'll put the links in and everything in the chat room for them.
Yeah. I mean, you know me and how I operate with the charity
right.
that I'm part of, and I'm, like, way, way, way in advance. And our charity's coming up in October, and I'm hoping to get some airtime with you guys as we, you know, maybe get a month away from that, because I know you've always supported the Ride for Kids.
Of course.
The bad part is, Bill, we're losing a couple of callers, and I don't want to do that.
Okay. Let's not stay in line with like that. We got somebody else who wants to. 310, you on the line? You want to say something, please?
Hello,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, that's me, Pete Alva. I was going to call with my cell phone. I decided to call my home phone because it's a cleaner line. So, anyway.
You got something going on this weekend, don't you? Can you tell us what's going on, brother?
Quite a few things are coming up. I'm in production of my film still, the documentary film about motorcycle riders and the motorcycle events. I'd like to mention first the one coming up on September 11th, which is Ride to the Flags, and that starts off at Point Magoo Naval Station, and they have a concert there. I forgot the name of the band, though. Last year they had Glenn Campbell, which was, like, absolutely outstanding, and this year they have probably two or three acts are going to put on to be announced. And the ride goes, like, through the Malibu Hills and then ends up at Pepperdine University, where a very majestic display of 3,000 full-size flags are on the lawn, over 3,000 representing everyone that was perished in the 9/11 attacks. And it's quite a sight to see, and they have a military presentation, and that is on Sunday, September 11th, the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attack. So I really urge a lot of people to go to this. They had about 1,000 riders last time, and they're planning, I bet you, they're probably going to get 2,000 to 3,000 this time, and just through word of mouth alone. They don't advertise in any magazines or TV or anything else. It's all word of mouth, and it's just an outstanding event. And even the celebrities themselves, they just hang out in front. You know, Glenn Campbell was hanging out in front, Anne Margaret, Lorenzo Lamas, and it's just like one big happy family. There's no VIP section where everybody's separated from the crowd. And it's just a one majestic event that I think nobody can miss, especially on the anniversary of 9/11. So if anybody can mark that down on the calendars, I can, if you get on my Facebook, too, I'll be posting stuff with that. So if you just get on my name, Pete Alva, P-E-T-E-A-L-V as in Victor A, and then you'll find me on Facebook and add me, and just check in on my wall, and I post stuff that I go film at for my movie and other events coming up, such as what's coming up this weekend, which is the Fry Brothers Band, who live in currently in Sacramento or San Francisco area. They are coming down this weekend, and we're going to have a showing of the movie that they are in, which is called I Ride. And I Ride is a movie about the Fry Brothers Band and them being on the road and the biker culture and the Harley-Davidson riding genre. And they are playing in concert also at Cook's Corner this Sunday. But first, they'll be showing the movie at the Art Theater in Long Beach, and that is at 2025 East 4th Street in Long Beach, and it's on Saturday, August 27th, and they're having two showings, 3 p.m. and 5 p.m., and parking is kind of limited there. It's kind of tough because it's, you know, Long Beach. So I'd be careful where you park because, you know, you got the cops and they're going to use any of the excuse they can to write you a ticket. So I would say be careful going out there and parking in undesignated areas. So, but the good thing is, I Ride is an outstanding movie by Darren Kerr. It has Sonny Barger in it, Willie Nelson, and Pat Simmons from the Doobie Brothers. And most of the film, though, is the Fry Brothers telling their story and playing their outstanding music that has been a staple of the biker event genre. And anyway, this movie is soon to grow, and it also features, a few other people in there, and like Steve Shapiro, the attorney, motorcycle attorney, and Darren Kerr, the director. He's an actual Cambodian refugee who came over to this country a long time ago and befriended the Fry Brothers and turned their story into a film, and it's just an outstanding film that just really hits the motorcycle riding community, and I urge everybody to go see it. And so on Saturday they'll have that in the evening, towards the evening, and they're scheduled the very next day to play at Cook's Corner over in Trabuco Canyon. And they're scheduled from 12:30 to 4:30 to play all day. And it'll be an outstanding concert, and I would like everybody to go. And I hope you guys
go. Small question.
Sure.
On Sunday at Cook's Corner, mm-hmm. there's no way you can set up any screen or anything, or how can the people get, if they miss the show on Saturday, how can they get to feel the film on Sunday? Will there be, share with me some ideas.
To have something like that, you have to have a special setup of a projection system, especially when you're showing something in really bright daylight. And that's a good idea to do that. Unfortunately, that isn't planned. But if anybody wants to see any previews of it, you can go on YouTube and just type in I Ride, the movie, and a preview trailer will come up and you can watch it. So that will work just as good. It's probably about a 4-minute clip, so it shows quite a bit and shows the gist of the film. So
you see that in advance, and they can go out and meet the Fried Brothers on Saturday right after they perform. Sunday, excuse me.
Yeah.
Saturday you can see the film. On
right.
Sunday, Brothers will be playing, but if you see the preview in advance, and you'll have flyers and posters or something, right, for the I Ride on Sunday at Cook's Corner?
Well, they'll have I Ride T-shirts for sale, and currently in circulation right now, the Fried Brothers movie poster, a staple of the film, has been on the cover of Quick Throttle magazine and Biker Information Guide magazine. So anybody
yeah,
that has those can bring those down and have them autographed by them. Do you plan on going there?
Yes.
Not on Sunday, Saturday. I have to do another event on Sunday already planned. What do we got here? Jeff Flame just posted something up here. I Spy LA event. Bikers will show up in support of the I Ride premiere at the Art Theater of Long Beach. And you want to get information about that down there?
I'm going to share it.
Okay.
Get it off my page.
Anybody can watch the page here for information about that. I know you guys in the East Coast got a little bit, might be kind of hard for you to run over to catch the show, but it'll be coming to your neighborhood soon.
Yeah, we have some plans of showing the film in other cities. And that's all in the works. And then it'll be shown on the Internet also, which is to be announced. And also eventually it will go to DVD format with extra features and on sale at some events and some venues online. So, yeah, it's been quite exciting to work with it. And the first premiere we had was in L.A., of course, which you guys attended. And
yes,
it was
nice to invite us. Thank you. Saturday and Sunday, we can expect surprise celebrities as I'm stopping by, as always.
There's that possibility, yeah. And we're looking forward to showing two showings instead of just one. That way you can accommodate people who might come late or just want to hang around and even watch two of them. It's a small theater, but it's a really nice theater. It's refurbished. It looks like the 1930s design in there. And if I'm allowed to say it on the radio here, they sell beer.
Say that. My friends won't show up if they don't have any beer.
Yeah, they sell beer there, which is a nice thing to have in a theater. So,
do any of our guests want to ask him any questions? This is Pete. Anybody any questions for Pete?
Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm.
Or you guys
can ask. It's kind of hard for me to get from New York to over there. So,
I know. Oh, we're loaded up, Bill.
Hold on 1 second, Pete. Caller 619.
Hey, it's Anastasia.
Okay, Anastasia, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Caller from 623. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're live.
Can you tell us who you are and where you're from, please?
Hi, my name's Shauna. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, hello.
Hi.
And would you want to comment about anything tonight? You want to ask any of our guests anything? Or
well,
did you want to share
actually,
something with us?
This is my first time calling this. I was just listening in to see what you guys talked about and stuff like that. I'm with somebody from the Red and White, so that's why I was, I found you guys through some web page. I don't remember what I was looking at, but some kind of web page. So, I was just wondering.
Well, sure you won't be able to make movie, because as you heard Pete saying a few minutes ago, the showing on Saturday, Sonny Baga, as he correctly says his name, Sonny Barger does a little speech about the movie. He's inside the movie, too. Sorry, you're making, you're not going to be able to make that, but it's kind of good. It's kind of good.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk to Pete about anything special, caller?
No, not that
you can
I
stay
know
on the line. If anything else comes up, you can jump in or you want to listen a little bit. Or we'll listen to anything you have to say.
Well, we're having a party at the Phoenix Clubhouse, if anybody wants to go.
Share with us.
Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock.
The Phoenix, Arizona Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, if you go on where you saw this and you send me a message, my email address is there, and I'll put the flyer up for you tonight.
It'll be like in 32 countries and states and everything else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right now you're worldwide. Right now you got 38 countries listening to you.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of cool. I don't even remember where I got the website.
Near a computer?
No, I use the computer on my phone.
Okay. Got a pen handy?
Your address, that way I can need information?
Yeah, I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
It's STROKERZ.
Hold on, let me turn
38. I'm sorry?
Hold
start
on,
over,
let me
please.
Turn this down real quick. Okay, go ahead again, sorry.
STROKERZ 383@gmail.com.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
For Tuesdays and Thursdays, call us, let us know what's going on, tell us what's involved in the motorcycle world, tell us what's going on in your life, tell us anything you want to talk to us.
Oh, really?
Don't lose us. Contact. We need to know what's going on in your state because it'll affect the other states, okay?
True. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's get back to Anastasia for a minute.
Anastasia had to go. She had an issue come up.
Oh, okay. Okay. She got two babies, so, that's an issue right there, for God's sakes. Pete, are you still with us?
Yeah, I sure am. And I'd like to point out another thing. I don't know if you were familiar with our friend Don Levine, but he was killed in a motorcycle accident over the weekend, last weekend, and it's a big tragedy out here. And a gentleman named Dan Baskin will be in attendance at the concert at Cook's Corner, and we will be raising a little bit of money for the family to help bury Don, and I'm sure a lot of people will show up for that. And I feel very grateful that he's helping with that. And I'm going to get together a poster of Don together to have there at Cook's. So.
Yeah, they called me on that. You know what? He was in a lot of pain. He was in a lot of pain. But as I know him, every time I met him with anybody, he was always, I say, people are givers or takers. He gave and he gave and he gave. He tried to help so many people. But I don't know. I could hope that he's in some peace wherever he is now and all that, because that's a tough way to go. I'm not going to get real graphic. Well, I can get graphic. We talk about, he slid like 100 feet or something like that off the bike. So
I don't know if you heard, but the word has it that there was an autopsy and they discovered that he might have had a stroke or a heart attack while he was riding. And
he up today and told me that today. They thought he had a stroke or heart. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
of course, didn't help his passenger at all, because she passed too, I thought, right?
Yeah, that's correct. His girlfriend was killed in the accident, too. But as always, I always stress rider safety, and I just want to point out, any contributions anybody can make to that, I have a website I just started, which is ridesafernow.com. So anybody wants to log on that or post anything that think can help me on that, they're always welcome to. They can post it on your wall or my Facebook wall, and I will expedite it. But, it's a sad day. It was a sad day. I had just spoken to Don literally an hour and 15 minutes before the incident happened, and it really affected me. And
Pete, Don was
family.
Don was big as a house. You know, this healthy arms size of, and yet, if it's your day, it's your day. I don't want to get deeply religious with everybody, but I have to say this. You got something unresolved in your life, don't let it go. Don't go to sleep. If you have a problem with your family member, don't let it remain unresolved. Look at our good friend Don. Friend to everybody. It was his day, it was his day. You have no guarantee you have tomorrow. If there's something you haven't taken care of, take care of it tonight before you go to bed. Enough for the religious meeting tonight. Miriam?
Hi. Wow, it seems like there's just been an epidemic of motorcycle accidents.
You took the words right out of my mouth right there. I was just going to say the same thing. Sometimes I think it's just me, but there's other groups of people I know that have this happen to, and I don't know the people or the incidents that happened. And I, every time I turn around lately, this has been happening in every shape or form.
I mean, I always think, you know, I go up to Los Angeles a lot. My family lives in L.A., and I'm always thinking, you know, L.A. is you know, got to be a little scarier, a little crazier than San Diego. But now it's been, like, for the past 3 weeks maybe in a row, it's just been, like, boom, 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 nonstop. On a positive note, we had a Gunny Sergeant Dave Smith, who was on his bike, sitting at a stoplight, and 22-year-old girl, I don't even know how high her alcohol level was, hit him.
0.37.
Okay, thank you. I knew you guys would know that.
A couple of bumpers were in the back seat and drove away after she asked everybody if he was dead.
Unbelievable. And then it's just been like that's all that I've been hearing about. Just back to back, and now, you know, hearing about that, I mean, it's just, what else can we do? I mean, we're being safe. We're wearing what we're supposed to wear. You know, we're wearing our helmets. We're dressing as well as we can. What else can we do to avoid people that are idiots? It's just, it's gotten so scary.
I want to tell you, if you want to feel good, why don't you try to come up to Long Beach on Saturday and catch this movie. It'll make you feel good to get out of the movie. If you're free, available on Saturday, come up to Long Beach for the I Ride movie.
Well, it works out perfect for me. I'm actually in Los Angeles this weekend, and I'm so happy that Pete came on air and told us about it, because I saw it in, I think it was either in Quick Throttle or something, and I went online and I started Googling all this stuff, and it was like, wow, this looks awesome.
You don't know a lot of people, you know, Screwdriver and myself, so just look for us and we'll introduce you to other people. You'll be very comfortable.
I know Steve.
You know Steve, okay.
Hopefully I can meet Pete, too.
Yeah, we'll be glad to have you there. It'll be awesome. Everybody's welcome to come, and like I said, get there a little early, because I went and surveyed all the parking situation there, and it's typical Long Beach parking. It's tough, but we'll fit you in somewhere.
What exit is it off of, like, the 405?
You go south on
the
405.
It's the 4th Street exit going to Long Beach.
What was that, Bill?
It's the 4th Street exit into Long Beach, isn't it?
Actually, I don't know if there's a 4th Street exit on anything, but if you take the Cherry Avenue exit all the way down south from the 405, you'll hit 4th Street, and then you make a left right at 4th, and it's only like a few hundred feet down the road on the left. And there's a parking lot right across the street where everybody can park. That's first come, first serve there. I hear they're kind of having a street fair that same day, so it might be a little clogged. That's why I'm stressing everybody get there early and get situated. And but there's a lot of parking places on the street itself. We're trying to cordon off the front area with some pylons so we can have some bike parking in the front, maybe to accommodate about 25 to 35 bikes. And then across the street, we could accommodate quite a bit more, and it's a paid parking situation. But in general, you can park for a couple hours or so on the street. So it's tight, but it'll be a small but mighty event.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I really appreciate you going, too. So it'll be fun. Anyway, Bill, is there any other events coming up that you think I should know about that I can go film for my movie? Because I've been.
I'm going to have one.
one October 8th that I wanted to talk to you about. It's going to be for diabetes. And we just Bill just did some networking for me today with Steve and a couple other people so we can get it hooked up, and it'll be for the Bikers Against Diabetes.
We use Sweetwater Harley-Davidson down in National City, I think, is the kickoff spot.
Right.
There's a run I want to tell very quickly about, and Camp Pendleton called me up and they said, we want to do a run out of your shop, Mr. Kennedy. And I said, absolutely fine. And they said, well, we've worked with you in the past. We like you. We like your style. We want to be there at 7:30 in the morning. So we'll set up around 5 or 5:30. And I want to tell everybody, so I do 6 veteran runs a year. I thought about it, and I thought about it. And I called up an authorized dealership 10 miles down the road. I'm going to stage it out of there. I couldn't get up at 5. I could get home at 5 o'clock. I couldn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to have the first biker out at 7:30. So we'll hear more about that later. But anybody that's listening to me that wants to put a run out of my shop, I am not a real morning person. I'm sorry, guys.
Pete, have you ever heard of the Ride for Kids? They do a big ride out of Torrance in L.A.
What is that?
It benefits the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. It's actually a kind of a really special thing. What they do is they take kids with brain tumors and patients that have either survived a brain tumor or currently battling a brain tumor, and they take members of their families and the kids on a ride. And they do a celebration of life, and it's just a really special thing when you see these little kids, you know, in sidecars, and it's real moving. It's not a poker run. It isn't, you know, there's no music or band or anything. It's all about the patients and the families and raising money for research to raise, you know, money to find a cure for one of the deadliest cancers that kill kids.
Do you have a date for that? Is it September or October?
We have one in San Diego. It's actually in Cardiff by the Sea that we do, and I'm
if you have Melissa, send me that to my email, and I'll post it, and I'll give it to Pete. I'll give it to him when I see him this weekend.
Okay.
But
okay,
I got a message.
Pete,
hang on. We got a message for you out of Dresden, Tennessee.
This is a message from them to you.
This is a message from them to you, Pete. We're planning to get Pete out east of the Mississippi and south of the Mason-Dixon line soon, so consider him kidnapped.
We're just telling what the message says.
That's from Sherry in Dresden, Tennessee.
Yeah, I plan on getting out there to hook up with a singer to sing in my upcoming new band project, so going out there to... You know,
are you talking about Stormy Montana?
Stormy Montana, yes.
There you go. She's a regular.
Small world, brother.
She's a regular on the show, man.
Yeah. And also, they're going to find me a motorcycle event that I can film out there so I can
get things done
at once.
Trust me, you'll have no problem with that. I know exactly what Sherry's going to do.
Sherry's family's got good friends with good people we both know, so she'll hook you up fine then. Yeah, you've been in good hands out there, brother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. Yeah, there's all kinds of things in the works for my movie, and it's just coming along spectacular. I recently went to Sturgis and spent 7 days out there filming, and I got the most extraordinary footage, and things are really, really hopping with it. I can't give away too much, of course, but I'll just say that it's going to be a very spectacular movie when it comes out. And you guys got to be in it.
I was telling about talking to Pete. And Pete was telling me he's got some great footage of you. However, it ended up the editing floor. I'm sorry, but Pete said no.
All that love.
I might pick it up off the floor and put it in the DVD extra features.
Pete, you got a good heart, brother.
We have a caller from 605, and we have a caller from 623, Bill.
Jump in the first one. What do we got first?
605.
605, caller, you're live. Who are you? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Bill, Phil, Ryan, Kasha Jordan's manager. How's it going out there?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good.
You know, you wanted to touch base with me on that article I sent you the other day. You got the time right now, brother. Go for it.
Right on. Yeah, the article you had sent me the other day about that bullshit law going on in Australia. What the hell is that all about? If I understood all that stuff right, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, let's take away everybody's rights, stereotype them as much as we can, and then give all the snitches a free pass if they're after you.
Well, if that works there, it's going to spread across everywhere. If we, the voters, allow it, Australian voters allow it, in the end, we got no one to blame but ourselves.
Exactly.
I tell you, everybody, over and over, you don't have to be an attorney. You just got to stand up for your rights. Now, in this case, we know the Australians are fighting hard. They don't want that to pass. We, the Americans over here, we can just watch it. But if it passes in Australia, we have to come together because it'll be affecting America next.
Yeah, well, you know, once they establish that precedent, that shit spreads like wildfire. It's the same way that they capture wild hogs, you know. They throw a bunch of corn out there, and they all run out, and they start eating the corn, and they put up one fence and throw some more corn. And gradually, you're fenced in, but you're getting your free corn, and it's like, what the hell? You know, that's what they're doing. They're taking away little freedoms, but saying, oh, here's a bullshit health care package. And then they take away some more shit, and they say, okay, here's some welfare stuff. You know, it's the same kind of crap. They gradually take away the freedoms. They keep people where they think they're comfortable, but the government can't give you anything that they don't take from somebody else. And
that's right.
They're jacking us over. And, you know, it's bullshit. And I hope that Australia stands up for what's right and make sure that doesn't go through. And I
hope there's some hard fighters over there. These
are fighting hard, dude.
These guys didn't take that country from a desert to make it a powerful country. These are good people over there. But we have to watch them because we're next up to bat.
Yeah, we are. And the way the bullshit in Washington works out here, it won't take long before they think it's a great idea and they start trying to push the same thing. So
well,
we've got to start being prepared for that.
Well, California's already trying to do what they call the STEP Act, which is if there's three people standing on the corner, they all happen to be wearing the same shirt or clothing
or color,
a cop can drive by, see him, and then what he can say is, hey, Chief, you know what? I saw these three guys on the corner. I think we need to start an investigation because
It's all it takes. It started in California, but we all, no matter what state is listening to us now, whatever country, you are responsible for your country, your state. But that's why this show's here, to share information. I'm not trying to be paranoid. I'm not saying sticking your head in the sand. I'm saying pay attention to what's happening because we're all together on this here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the sad thing is that a lot of people are watching it happen right around them. They're following the herd. You know, oh, well, Bob says it's okay, so it's okay. Well, do your damn research. See what's going on and see how it affects not only you but everything else globally. And stand up for yourself, for Christ's sake. This sitting in the back and letting things happen because, oh, it doesn't bother me right now, that's bullshit. And that's generally what's happening. And then these laws get passed, and then everybody's screwed.
We're in California, we have a helmet law, and I have done, this is not a legit survey, but I'm going to tell you, everybody I've talked to, were you involved in trying to veto the helmet law? Did you do anything at all? And most of all the people I spoke to said, nah, Bill, fuck it, we just wait to see what happened. You waited too long. Didn't we all wait too long? A few people went out of their way, tried to stop it, but most of the bikers I spoke to said, fuck it, you know, it don't affect me. It does. It really does.
Oh,
and that's just one example of the way it's going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it may not affect you now, but they don't just write a law that says you got to have a certain kind of helmet. They tack on all kinds of other bullshit that you don't read about that's in the fine print at the bottom, and gradually they fence you in. And then you're dependent on them for something that they can't deliver, so the economy's jacked up, and then, oh, well, you guys voted it in. Well, it's a crock of shit.
Yep. Pay attention now or suffer later. That's the way it's going
to
be.
Right, and we're down to the last 5 minutes. And I want to thank everybody for calling in. Larry, thank you for sticking in there for as long as you have. And
thank you for your patience, brother.
You're welcome anytime.
A lot of people want to talk.
Yep, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Everybody, Pete's film up there. I ride. Anybody that's sound of my voice, I can make Long Beach this weekend. Screwed out, and I'll be partying up there.
That's right.
Midwest and East Coast brothers and sisters. And it might be a bit difficult, but Maybe next time we can meet somewhere else. But for everybody else, look for us at Long Beach.
The caller on 323, you're welcome to call back on Tuesday with updates.
Hi.
Who is this, please?
Yeah,
hi,
you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm outside of Starbucks, so it's a little loud. But I just wanted to thank you guys very much because I've been listening to the show, and it's amazing what everybody's doing and to be able to hear about it. And thank you for letting us share our project because we really, really want to get it out there, and we really appreciate you guys. So.
No worries. Anytime.
Absolutely. All right. We all got to put it together.
And the caller on 623, are you still there?
Yes, this is Shauna again.
Hey,
okay,
Shauna.
Okay.
You've got my email address. Send me your stuff, and you're welcome
actually,
anytime.
My
Go
phone
ahead.
Was cutting out, so that's why I had to call back and get it again. So I was wondering if I could get it again because my phone was cutting out.
Sure. It's STROKERD. STROKERZ 383@gmail.com.
Okay, I got it this time. Thank you. Are you guys on every day?
Oh, we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, okay. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
We invite you on as much as you want to come on. Share whatever you got going on. It's only by you sharing information with us can people in the East Coast and Midwest hear what's going on. I know it sounds like I'm beating it up over and over. I swear to you, all we got is this type of a program. And we say the last bastion of... If we don't share information, we'll never hear it from the government, I guarantee it. And I'm not
no
paranoid conspiracy theater. I'm just saying I'm a biker trying to get information out to people.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I love it already. This is my first time listening, and I love it, so...
Okay, then we expect to see you here Tuesday.
Definitely.
Okay. Now,
okay, bye.
Okay, you can say goodbye. You can say hello to whoever you want. Give them a shout out.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, okay. I want to say hi to all the bikers in the U.S. and any other country, I suppose. My boyfriend's a biker, therefore, I mean, I don't know how to ride a bike, but that's okay.
Don't know how to ride a bike today. Maybe tomorrow, though.
Maybe tomorrow, though.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. So, yeah, pretty much sit back and, you know, ride bikes, and that's about it.
Okay, stick around, because you're going to enjoy the song I'm going to close the show out with, and everybody will understand once you hear the words.
Okay, thank you, hon.
You're welcome. The caller on 760, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? We can't.
Hello?
Anybody there?
Yes, is that you?
It's me.
Is that my wife?
It is.
Honey, is that my wife?
It is.
Honey, is everything okay?
Just fine. Just going to call to say hi and don't forget the chicken.
Okay.
I'm bringing Popeye's chicken home tonight for everybody. Spicy chicken.
All right, Kathy.
Bye.
Thank you, honey.
Okay, love you, and hi, Phil. See you later.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. And what we're going to do right now is I'm going to take us out with that song. Here we go. This is how we feel. right, good night, everybody. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Good night.